Hi, this is Josie, and I'm just going to read from my Bible, the Life Recovery Bible. Fantastic. So chapter 1, the promise of the Holy Spirit. In my first book, I told you, Theophilus, about everything Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up to heaven after giving his chosen apostles further instructions through the Holy Spirit. During the 40 days after he suffered and died, he appeared to the apostles from time to time, and he proved to them in many ways that he was actually alive, and he talked to them about the kingdom of God. Once, when he was eating with them, he commanded them, "Do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised, as I told you before. John baptized with water, but in just a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." The ascension of Jesus. So when the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking him, "Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and restore our kingdom?" He replied, "The Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times, and they are not for you to know. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and when you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." After saying this, he was taken up into a cloud while they were watching, and they could no longer see him. As they strained to see him rising into heaven, two white robed men suddenly stood among them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why are you standing here staring into heaven? Jesus has been taken from you into heaven, but someday he will return from heaven in the same way you saw him go." Matthias replaces Judas. Then the apostles returned to Jerusalem from the Mount of Olives, a distance of half a mile. When they arrived, they went to the upstairs room of the house where they were staying. Here are the names of those who were present: Peter, John, James, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas, the son of James. They all met together and were constantly united in prayer, along with Mary, the mother of Jesus, several other women, and the brothers of Jesus. During this time, when about 120 believers were together in one place, Peter stood up and addressed them. "Brothers," he said, "the scriptures had to be fulfilled concerning Judas, who guided those who arrested Jesus. This was predicted long ago by the Holy Spirit speaking through King David. Judas was one of us and shared in the ministry with us. Judas had bought a field with the money he had received for his treachery. Falling headfirst there, his body split open, spilling out all his intestines. The news of his death spread to all the people of Jerusalem, and they gave the place the Aramaic name Akeldama, which means field of blood." Peter continued, "This was written in the book of Psalms, where it says, 'Let his home become desolate, with no one living in it.' It also says, 'Let someone else take his position.' So now we must choose a replacement for Judas from among the men who were with us the entire time we were traveling with the Lord Jesus, from the time he was baptized by John until the day he was taken from us. Whoever is chosen will join us as a witness of Jesus' resurrection." So they nominated two men, Joseph, called Barsabbas, also known as Justus, and Matthias. Then they all prayed, "O Lord, you know every heart. Show us which of these men you have chosen as an apostle to replace Judas in this ministry, for he has deserted us and gone where he belongs." Then they cast lots, and Matthias was selected to become an apostle with the other 11.
This morning, we're looking at Acts 1 as we prepare for Pentecost next week, and that's the coming of the Holy Spirit is what happened at Pentecost. And so we're looking a little bit at the lead up to that this week. And I know as a church that you know the book of Acts very well. I've visited on several occasions over the years, and you've been studying Acts. But for those who are maybe not so sure, it's the story of the early church, and it's a story mainly of how Acts 1 verse 8 was fulfilled. Let me just read that again to you. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria to the ends of the earth. You know, the book of Acts was written by Luke, so it's almost the second chapter, starting with the Gospel of Luke, and now we're into the story of the early church. And Luke's great aim is to show how the words of the risen Christ that I've just read to you and the arrival of his Spirit led to the expansion of Christianity from a room holding 120 people in a small corner of Palestine, of Jerusalem, to 30 years later, they've moved north through Turkey. They have expanded through mainland Greece, including many of the Greek islands, and they've got to Rome. So from Palestine, 120 people, right through to expanding through to Rome in Italy. An achievement that's only reached because they started with patience to wait in the upper room, to wait in Jerusalem for what Jesus promised would come next. So we're going to have a look at that passage today. We're going to see what God can teach us while we're waiting on his word. You know, the 11 apostles and the others who are hanging on, they'll have known the Hebrew Bible. They'll have known what we call the Old Testament. They'll have known their holy scriptures. They'll have known the stories, the prophecies. And I wonder, when they heard Jesus say, you know, go to Jerusalem and wait, did they think to themselves, you know, is this a 40 years in the desert wait? As in when Israel fled from slavery in Egypt and led to the promised land 40 years later? Or is this a Jeremiah 29:11 moment? I'm sure many of you know the verse, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper and not to harm you, plans for a hope and a future. Now, great words, encouraging words, Christians use them all the time to encourage one another. But read in the context of the verse before it, where we read the words, when 70 years are completed, I will come to you and fulfill my promise to you. Is this a Jeremiah 29:10 promise? I'll come to you in 70 years. Hang about, guys. Or maybe it's another 3-day wait, just as it was when Jesus was dying on the cross and then rose from the grave 3 days later. Waiting is hard work, especially when you don't have a concept of the deadline. It's like a young child waiting for Santa Claus to come at Christmas time. I remember asking my mum, could I write a list to Santa? And I remember it being the summer holidays. I had no concept of the wait. We are a people waiting for Jesus to fulfill his promise to come again. That is our big wait, that we live to see the kingdom of God in all its fullness, in all its glory, in all the world. But our lives are made up of loads of little waits. When can we freely gather again? When will this vacancy be over? When can I travel and stay at my mum, stay at my grandparents, etc.? Some of those waits are coming to an end. Our world opens up even more for us tomorrow, the 17th of May. Hugs for anyone? But other waits continue. So today we're going to see what we can learn about waiting from this chapter in Acts. And the first thing I want to share is that it's easier to wait if we trust. When I was a schoolgirl, I lived 7 or 8 miles from the school I attended, and there was a bus allocated to take us home every day. Monday to Thursday, the bus would be regularly waiting for us. No problem, we jumped on, Only the school was able to get on the bus and we would go home. But on a Friday, every Friday, the bus was late, really late, maybe an hour late. And maybe on about one or two Fridays in the month, it just didn't appear. And so you can imagine, you know, that I would lose trust. That I would just think, why am I waiting here? What's the point in waiting here? Maybe nothing's going to happen. And very often, a group of us would be forced to start to walk to the public bus stop. And as our faith grew less, as our trust grew less that the bus would turn up for us, we would leave for the public bus stop earlier and earlier. If you're not sure of what you're waiting for, if you can't trust in it, it's actually really hard to wait. And so for us, for Christians, all through the ages, it's easier to wait if we know Jesus. If we know him through his word, if we know his promises to us, then we can fall back on those and we can trust that we're here, we're waiting because God has called us to this place, but he won't leave us here. He will move us on. It's interesting that the apostles were all chosen, including Matthias, the replacement, because they had witnessed Jesus' life and ministry right back to the baptism with John. They'd seen the baptism, the miracles he performed, the healings, the exorcisms that we read. They'd have heard of his teaching on prayer, his teaching on justice, his teaching on when he was in the temples and when he was on the hillsides. They'll have heard it all. They'll have heard Jesus declaring that the kingdom of God is here. And that built up their trust. That built up their knowledge of him, and they were able to trust him so that when we get to the book of Acts and we know that these are the 12 who are going to be going out into all of the world, they know and they can persuade, encourage others to believe as well because of their testimony. They will have known about the opposition that Jesus faced, leading to a trial, the crucifixion and the death, and their betrayal as well. They will have all have thoughts in mind of times when they had betrayed Jesus, particularly around the time of his trial and death. But they'll also know of the resurrection and all those appearances afterwards, the meals with Jesus' friends, the encouragement, the being commissioned, as we say, Peter, three chances to tell Jesus, yes, I love you, Lord. Those opportunities that Jesus gave to reinstate those who had fallen away. There was so much of Jesus' life in their life. There were shared lives at that stage. You know, Jesus and his companions, his apostles, shared their lives. They lived, walked and worked together. And so those were a great 12 to start out the ministry from the upper room. And of course, we read this in Acts as well. They will have seen his ascension into heaven. It is easier to wait if you have seen the miraculous, if you have seen and heard of promises told. It makes it much easier to wait. So how is your trust in Jesus in these days? For this last 15 months, have you been strong in your faith and your trust? Or have you, like most of us, I guess, been through times of wobble, times of insecurity, of doubt? Maybe you know someone who is wobbling, who has maybe not been to church for a while, or who has just eased away. We hear less and less of them now. Is there any way you can connect with them, listen to them without any judgment at all, and just encourage them on their way? And that leads me to my second point as well. You know, the first one is it is easier to wait when we know Jesus. We know and we trust in Jesus. And the second point is it is so much easier to do all of that if we do it together. Yeah, it is just easier to do it together. It is hard to be completely on your own and hold it together in faith and in trust. And that's what we read in the book of Acts. the 120 of them gathered in an upper room. They all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the woman and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. They were praying constantly. Peter was teaching them from Scripture. He was picking up prophecies from the Psalms in his teaching. In other words, they were doing the work of the church, praying, preaching, encouraging one another, and also the jobs that involved as well, replacing Judas with Messiah. Now, this past 15 months, we've been gathering as church, and we are church. We are just as much church online as we are gathered in a room. But it is a difficult way to gather. It's artificial. And who among us has not wobbled or doubted or just plain got weary of this way of doing things? And I think that is natural that all of us have struggled at one point or another. We've been isolated from one another, and that makes relationships difficult. You know, Peter, the apostles, Mary, and all of the men and the women who gathered knew that they derived encouragement from one another. They knew that they built relationship when they met together. And we are built for relationship. You know, and it has been difficult. But I want at this stage, maybe let's take a break and just say bless you to all of you who have persevered through the most trying of times this past 15 months. Those who have stayed in touch with each other by texting, by online chat, social media, who have been involved in Zoom, for those of you who have walked in parks, those of you who have sat in gardens in rainstorms and in hailstorms at one stage, bless you and thank you from the bottom of my heart and the leadership team for your persevering in maintaining relationships. We are made for relationship and community, and that is just a reminder to us from Acts chapter 1. And we remember that actually, although we worship one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, each of the three parts, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, are in perfect and loving communion with one another. And that is what we aim for as well. We aim to copy, if you like, the Trinity in our love for one another. So it's easier to wait if we do it together. And from tomorrow, the 17th of May, we can have eight different people from eight different households can meet outdoors. And that gives us a greater freedom than we've had for a long time. And we can have six from three households can mix in a home together. There are lateral flow tests now available to every home free, so that you can test that you can actually reduce the risk of spreading COVID even further. And I want to encourage all of you to make the most of these new freedoms. Maybe by next Sunday even, there can be some of you gathered in homes together and that you can chat to each other after the service and you choose not to come along to Zoom. That is okay. That is good. Make the most of the freedom. How could maybe a couple of the families, because I don't think the young children count towards the eight, but how could you maybe get together maybe at a weekend or for a tea time together, to share a meal, to encourage one another, to do church in your garden with the children together. How can you meet? How can you make the most of the freedoms that we have? When we do eventually get back together, I don't know yet, but I anticipate there might still be social distancing, there might still be masks, there might still be no singing, I don't know. And it's hard, it's going to be tough to maintain a relationship when we have these false barriers around us. So I really want to encourage you, church, make the most of the freedoms that the government has given us. I never thought I'd be saying words like that. It just sounds still so alien to me. Meet with other folk as and when you can and encourage one another. Get together, encourage, support one another. and we'll get through this that much easier. So that's my second point today. This waiting, whatever it is we wait for, it's easier to do it in community, in relationship with one another. And the final thing I want to bring out from this passage today is that it's easier to wait, to endure any waiting that we need to do if we all pull together. Matthias has chosen to plug a gap. The apostles know there's a lot of work to be done. Every man and woman counts. And so they're keen to bring him in and give him that place. Now, we've had an unusual year, 15 months, in so many ways. But one that is due to the nature of our online gatherings is really unusual is that the workload has been carried by very few this past year. There are no coffee rotas. There's no chair rotas to put out to bring them in. There's no formalised children work and setting up the kids' room, taking it down again, doing the teaching. So many of the different positions have temporarily disappeared. And very few people in the church have carried really quite some burdens. We think and thank Ian Hutchison and family to start with at the beginning of lockdown one, and then worship taken over by Karen, by Kirsty, by Rachel, and Gordy too. And those who've helped with the preaching, Shona and Andy. You know, I know some of you have read for me, and very often the feedback I get when somebody has done a reading is, well, it took much longer than I thought it would to just record a 1 minute or 2 minute reading. There is a lot of work involved in reading, praying, preparing for a service, but actually the tech, the time consuming part of getting it onto video and then getting that onto YouTube is a huge amount of work. It's a ludicrously amount of work compared to what it appears in the final effort. And I am very thankful for those who work away in the background, particularly Matt Snook, who has done so much to keep us sane. And also Rachel and Lal, particularly them with the live streaming that we've done at the beginning of lockdown and then 2 weeks ago. So thank you so much to all of you who have volunteered and who continue to volunteer and do those roles. But as the world opens up, we all need to respond to the call for help. Whether it's a big role, it's something major and visible in the church, or what seems a fairly small role, everyone is vital in the building up of the kingdom. You know, Matthias was picked by lots, which is quite an unusual thing for us to hear. We don't normally still do that, but lots drawn by man. He was the 12th apostle. Can you just imagine the excitement in him, or the sense of responsibility and awe? You know, wow, I'm number 12. This is me. You know, I'm going to be recorded. I'm going to be known about. But yet we never hear of him again. He's not mentioned anywhere else in the book of Acts. He's not mentioned in any of the letters in the New Testament, particularly written by Paul. He seems to have disappeared. Now, what an honour it was to maybe be chosen as the 12th on the team. But actually, his work seems to have been invisible in the kingdom. And being, I just want to reassure any here, but being invisible in your work for the kingdom is a valid role. We may not see you, you may not get particularly acknowledged, but God sees you, God values your work, God values what you do for him, and you matter, and what you do matters as well. And so I say thank you to all of those who have quietly encouraged and drawn alongside others, for those who have delivered meals or just goodies to some people, for those who have kept in touch, for those who are housebound, all the little things, and some of the invisible roles can be quite big as well. Thank you for all that you do. Your work is valued by God and by me, the leadership team, the wider church. So pulling together is going to make it easier for us to all wait in harmony with one another. So do bear in mind that as the world opens up, you may be able to step in and fulfill a role. Maybe you have a garden, maybe you have a patio, maybe you can bring along cakes to a gathering. Whatever it may be, please consider that your part is extraordinarily valuable in the life of the church. So there I have it really for this morning. We know waiting isn't the easiest thing, whether you're a small child waiting for Christmas or an adult just waiting for God to make and reveal his next step. But it is easier. It's easier if we steep ourselves in God's word so that we trust in Jesus as much as we can in this season. It is easier to meet together and wait together if and when we can, and in as many different ways, a reminder we're made for a relationship with God and one another, and we need to get back into the habit of meeting together as best we can. And finally, it's easier to wait if we all pull together and play our part. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for the book of Acts, for the excitement that we find in there and for the lessons that we get in there today. Help us as a church, as we wait for the next steps, whether that's getting back together again physically, more freely, whether it's just looking to see how the leadership of the church is going to change when a new minister comes. Whatever it may be, Lord, help us to wait with you, with each other. Help us to support one another. Help us to bear one another's griefs and burdens as we struggle in the wait. Thank you for the picture of good waiting that we see in this book, this chapter of Acts, and help us to reflect that, to wait just in anticipation and excitement with what comes next. For those who are struggling, Lord, help us to bring your comfort, your peace, and your joy to their lives. May we grow ever closer to you as we wait, and may we grow in relationship with one another. Bless us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.